Welcome to the Summit Red Deer podcast. You can stay connected by going to our website, thesummitreddeer.ca.
Sheila's always trying to get me in the Holy Spirit. So I always say, if she comes to pray for you, just say brick wall. Brick wall. Don't, it's not actually advisable. You shouldn't be a brick wall to the Lord. You should be soft and gushy. But anyway, yeah, thank you. This is such a joy to be here tonight and just spend some time with you guys and talk about what the Lord has been doing and what he's doing across Canada right now. Because I honestly believe that Canadians are going to be known for boldness again. Like that, like in this season, we're meant to demonstrate the kingdom and the power and the reality, the gospel that's been entrusted to us to share with our nation and this, like our cities and our families and our friends and our coworkers and all that kind of stuff. I honestly believe God's like causing a boldness to come into his church for the preaching of the gospel because we've understood and experienced his goodness. And then we're like, I think the most bold people I know have the greatest revelation of his goodness. And then they walk into any situation and people start getting healed and set free. And you're just like, oh, it's just my dad, right? Who's doing the stuff. So it's fun to also, your pastors, TJ and Rita, are amazing. So when I heard him, when he shared, like, they're coming to Red Deer and planting this church and some of the testimonies of, like, the building, and it's, like, things are happening super quick and there's been some really cool God provision stories and stuff like that. Knowing a little bit of TJ's journey and, like, the way the Lord has led him and Rita to plant other churches and help support other things is just special because he carries such a pastor's heart to care for people. So I know y'all are super blessed. Amen. We should just all introduce each other and just like, and just build each other up and just, okay. So this is what I want to do tonight. I want to share about this crazy vision that your church and your lives can be a part about or be a part of this year. And then I want to share just some wild, like, testimonies, if that's okay. And before I start, does everyone here know how to share the gospel? Okay. Relative. Okay. Four people. Great. I don't even know how to follow that up. Yeah. Because Sheila, I know you run some outreach. And so there's outreaches that this church is doing. And so you would have, does everyone feel confident or competent to share the gospel? Okay. I'll just ask a third time. And then you'll be like, oh, here tonight? Right. And are you identified as one of those? Like, are you like, there's some, or do you want to, would you like to point at who they are? No, okay. Yeah. We'll all point who is. That's a bad. We have we have a very, you can use this. So if you haven't, okay, who here knows how to share the gospel and would be confident to? Amazing. Praise God. Pray for the sick. Share a testimony in like 15 seconds. Awesome. Okay, this one will be for free tonight. I'll share this one, the 15-second testimony. But before I do that, we have this very solid theological tool to help train and equip people to share the gospel. Yeah, so you might want to write this down. Very theological. Ian and I, by the way, this is mighty Ian Kirkland. And Ian is on our team and we're traveling together this week and just getting lots of car time because we're heading all over the province to different things and just helping other churches and leaders get excited for this, which I will share about now, but I am just having fun holding a mic right now. But this okay, solid theological point that Ian and I have had the joy of doing with many believers across Canada is called throw you under the bus. So what you do is if when you find a brother or sister hasn't prayed for someone or hasn't shared the gospel, Sonia and I did this to each other many, many years ago in Hamilton, which we were just reminding ourselves of, which is glorious. But you just go, okay, it's your turn to pray for this person. It's your turn to share the gospel with this person. And all of a sudden, someone who's like, ooh, how do I do this? It's just forced upon you. And then it's called discipleship. It's fine. We try to make it a little bit humorous because as Canadians, we appreciate humor. But it's actually the reason why the Iranian church and the underground church in China and India is growing so quickly is that as soon as they see someone come to faith, they're immediately trained to go share the gospel with the people they know. So in Iran, if someone's won to Christ, they'll be baptized and then immediately discipled to go share what God's done with them with the people they know. And then they're immediately, some of the underground movements in Iran have like a 30-lesson curriculum that they just go through the New Testament and find every command of Jesus and just train the new believer to do those things. So they'll be like, oh, it says that those who believe will lay their hands on the sick and they'll recover. So do you know any sick people? And they're like, yeah, okay, let's go to their house and pray for them. And they do their spiritual formation based off obedience. Which is just super like cool. And anyway, so it's called discipleship is also equated to being thrown under the bus. That's where I was trying to get with any of that and all of that. All right. Thank you, Lord. God, we ask that just even as we just hang out tonight, would you move our hearts for what kept yours on the cross? Jesus' name. Amen. I'm trying to distill and make what I'm about to share somewhat, hopefully, articulate. So I feel like in my mind I'm jumping around to different things. So hopefully by the end you're going to be like, wow, that was the best message I've ever heard. And if not, don't tell me. You can complain to TJ after. Okay, so I'll start here. Ephesians 4 lists the fivefold, right? If you want to flip there. You're welcome to, because it's been so helpful just to see something really, really important. So Jesus, he actually says in verse 11 that he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Right? I'm sure many of you are very familiar with that, and being in a summit church, that would be certainly probably in the ethos of everything you guys do and teach, right? So fivefold, what's is so beautiful about this is that they're called the gifts of Christ, right? So Jesus, the fivefold ministry is the ministry of Jesus through his church, which is important to understand because when it comes to evangelism, the sharing of the gospel, Paul's actually linking this very important thing that he says that through these fivefold gifts, these gifts of Christ, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, are given to the church, but why? I just read it, but this is one of those rhetorical guy holding the mic things. But he says, why? For the equipping of the church for the works of service. And then verse 13, verse 12, equipping the saints for the works of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So the building up until we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure and stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So the goal of the gifts of Christ is for the building up of the church, for the works of service, so that we might become mature. So why is evangelism important? If you practice, if you become evangelistic, you have a heart that actually mirrors the Son of God, who is an evangelist. Like, God's a missionary, he is an evangelist. When we step into that and obey and follow him to share his gospel, we mature and become like him. And this is the hard part of it. If we don't share the gospel, we will not mature. It's this like thing that our obedience proves our maturity. And if we actually don't allow the love of God to reach through our lives, to share him and to bring the invitation of eternal life, to become a disciple right now, to know God and be redeemed and made new in his image and everything he's paid for, we ourselves will not become mature disciples. There's something so formative about stepping into that spot when you're trembling and you're actually afraid, but you step into that spot because what your obedience does is allows you to partner with God. It allows God to partner with you. Right, like you think about, TJ was telling me, someone gave a significant financial gift to help with the building you guys are building, right? Someone, I think, who's been here once, just rocked up, gave a huge gift. Their obedience allowed God to partner with them to bless your church. And so obedience and evangelism is the same thing. It's like there's your... When you just start to say, yeah, you let like the fight and the burning for souls start to move you into action, God will make you dangerous. Like there's no, when I think about evangelism and what is like the high calling for us is not me standing here holding a mic. Like it's so much of our culture evolves and it's very, very, or revolves around, it's very, very important. But obedience and fellowship with God is all of our high calling. And part of that is to demonstrate and share and proclaim Jesus. Amen? So what I'm saying this is like, I'm gonna share some stories like in a little bit, because like God actually will come and partner with you to reach people. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21, it actually says that he's committed to us. So God has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry and message of reconciliation. So that word committed is like, he's actually been like, if this is the message, he's literally come over and said, here, it's your turn. Right? Like there's, it's like the church is plan A to reach the world. So in a brotherly manner, what I'm saying is I'm exhorting you with a challenge to share Jesus, because you'll discover his heart. One of the first times we ever went out in our city of Peterborough is we went into this chocolate store. It was with Anne Marie, who TJ knows as well. And we go into this chocolate store and we strike up a conversation with the staff there, largely because we wanted chocolate. And it was fantastic. But so we go into the store and my friend Anne Marie is like, oh, and saw her name tag and was like, oh, your name's Samantha. And she's like, yep. She's like, oh, do you know what Samantha means? And I'm like, I have no idea where Anne Marie's going with this. And she's like, oh, no. And Anne Marie says, well, it's like the female equivalent of the name Samuel. And she's like, oh, cool, didn't know that. And she's like, did you know about Samuel in the Bible? This is the weirdest way to start a conversation about Jesus. There's, we can train simpler ways, which we'll still do the 15-second testimony. I think you were like, that would be helpful. But Anne-Marie's like, Samuel, this girl, as soon as she says Samuel, Anne-Marie said, Samuel was a guy in the Bible that had a really close walk with Jesus. And as soon as she said Jesus, this girl started to cry. And Anne-Marie, who is actually a psychotherapist, was like, oh, because she's immediately like compassionate and like, oh no. Right. So she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know what. And she's like, no. I don't yet believe in God, but I know there's something. And I've been praying alone at home in my apartment. And as I've been praying, I've been experiencing a presence come into my room. And when you mentioned Jesus, that same presence, I just felt that same presence. And that, literally, a friend texted me today, like just a couple hours ago. She shared the gospel with someone at a convenience store, and they shared with her that just under a week ago, someone had just come in and shared the gospel as well. Because God is reaching for people. Like he's after every single person you interact with, he's after. He wants them. And he's like, and when you just say yes and start to allow like what is like commanded to all of us to start to move you to obedience, he will reach through your life and start to touch people. And you'll help steward not only the preaching the gospel to your city and your friends and your coworkers and all and everyone you come a part of, but you'll actually help steward revival for Summit Church. Because you're honoring what he paid for, right? And all of a sudden there's something so beautiful when I'm even at our church and I sometimes it's so fun, like I'll look over and I'm like, oh, here's my bro Eric who just gave his life to the Lord. And then I look up and I see another friend named Joe who is like one of the worst arms dealers in our church, or not our church. Yeah, it's a good church, guys. Real. Yeah, everyone's just shooting guns in Ontario. It's not Alberta over there. In our city, you type in his name and it comes up. It's like in and out of jail multiple times. And I look over and he's just worshiping because he met someone, shared the gospel with him. He got totally set free of demons, baptized him in a horse trough with well water. It was very cold. And you're sitting there in church and you're like, and they're giving evidence of the gospel working. And so imagine like now you're here and you look over when you're worshiping the presence, because Summit just stewards the presence of God so well. And then you look over and you're like, oh man, I just saw that. Like, it'll stir you up to share the gospel is what I'm saying. Amen. Okay. So this is wild. So we've launched this thing. There's a QR code, which I'll explain in a second. This year, we were like we need to bring the gospel to Canada, and as a ministry, we were like we so believe in the potential of the individual believer and individual local churches being the mission of God to this nation and to their cities and all that, and we're like if we can help. We found that Canadian believers know they should share the gospel, but often don't because they don't know how. And so when they start to step out, they just experience that same fight as I've been kind of sharing, and they step into the Great Commission, and they become transformed, and they bring that transformation to others. And so we were like, oh, could we see at least 100,000 Canadians hear the gospel across Canada coast to coast? And we were like, yeah, if we can mobilize individuals and churches right across the nation, we could do that. So we started praying. It was one of these first, those thoughts that kind of drop into your heart. And then you're at a worship service or you're praying. And it's just one of those things that gets so big in you that you're like, ugh, I think I, I don't know. It just seems crazy. So we wrestled, Melissa and I, we wrestled with it for a number of months, and then we're like, yep, we have to do this. We have no idea. We have no money to do it. But let's try. So we mapped it all out. We brought our team together. We, you know, planned and built a budget and all this kind of things. And we're like, we're going to host evangelistic events right across the nation, starting April 25th to the end of November. So in every major city, there'll be evangelistic events that'll help local churches step in and mobilize thousands of believers to go and make Jesus known. So we're like, let's do that. And let's work with at least 200 churches across Canada to do that same thing, that they would each start to step in and develop an evangelistic culture to go and make Jesus known. And then one of our team said, we should develop an app to track that. And we're like, oh, yeah. And then we're like, oh, to build an app, that's money. And we're like, okay, let's do it. Let's do it in faith and just build what we need and just honor the gospel that way with faith and just, right? So we did. We started developing an app and all this kind of stuff. We ended up having this idea that we'd bring these city leaders, so leaders from across Canada, bring them to a central retreat, pour into them, cover all the costs of it, and then also be able to host an event that would, at the end, that would celebrate what God has done. And we were like, okay, and it wasn't a huge bill, but for our team, we were like, this will cost us approximately $115,000 to build the app and do all these events and bless leaders and sow into those events right across Canada. And we barely asked, and God covered every dollar and more. Which is so wild. And we've been sharing this testimony because we haven't even launched. The official launch date of this is April 25th. And so Bill Prankard is going to come join us. And just because, anyone know Bill? Oh. Papa Bill. Yeah. So Bill and Jacob and some others, so the official launch is April 25th, and we already have every dollar we need to accomplish the full vision of this. And as we saw the last donation, we were at like $113,000 that had already come in. And when all of a sudden the last two came in, we were like, we have experienced the Lord of the harvest, who owns the harvest. And it became a sign and a wonder to us, because he was actually speaking, I own the harvest of Canada. Like, he's already paid his son's blood for every single person in this city. And his son's blood is still speaking, and is speaking mercy and hope and victory and healing and salvation. And it's like, when you interact with someone, his blood is actually still speaking before the entire host of heaven that person could be saved, that person. And we experienced it, the revelation of that, through a financial miracle. It was like, right? We were very excited. I was literally ready to go right into the reasoning because I learned that you always plan like a 15% budget of like, uh-oh, for the things you don't. So I was like, well, then we need 115. So no, you can interact. That's way better. Yeah, boo if you want. My son booed. Can I boo? Oh, that would be amazing. Just like, you know. Yeah. That's the best. So what is so cool about this is what you, Summit, are invited into is one of the largest evangelistic campaigns that will be happening in Canada this year. And it's one of the largest because it has the opportunity for every single one of us to be a part of it. So what's so cool about this, so on this, if you scan this QR code, you'll be taken to a webpage called, and you can go to it, 100kharvest.ca. And then with that, it's a web-based app that you can download. So what that means is that you don't get it through the App Store or Google Play, because this way we saved a bunch of money, and the upload, if we need to update anything, it's like instant. So we don't have to wait for Apple or Google to do their verification process every time. But you will see in real time how many people have heard the gospel across Canada. So as you go on and you share the gospel with someone, you'll actually be able to click it in and you'll see in real time. So today we, so we're looking, it's so fun. So today we've tracked about 35 different people who heard the gospel across Canada today. Now, we know that way more people have heard the gospel across Canada today than 35. But the reason we created an app was to celebrate and model obedience. You say it again. Yeah. Because we want to. So now I'm getting interactive myself. Look what you started. But we wanted to celebrate obedience, right? So it's full right now. There's 300 small statistics. We right now have 368 users who are all starting to track what God is doing, because if you use it as a church and share, like when you're out with outreach or just in your own life and you share that, you'll literally be encouraging churches and believers right across Canada to do the same. Because the goal is that we'd help mobilize, and it, like, not just churches in little pockets across Canada, but like thousands of believers connected to hundreds of churches across Canada so you're actually in the same time tracking both what God is doing and saying, like, God bring the gospel to thousands and thousands and thousands of Canadians, but you're literally in real time strengthening people who are connected to this. We just needed to be tangible and celebratory. So it's so fun. So when it'll give you the instructions on how to get it. But just this morning, like, so right now, Canada-wide, we've tracked 825 gospel shares. This morning, it was like 787. So it's just like, if you had it and you're watching and someone tracked it, you'd see it in real time. Someone else heard the gospel. So it's just a fun. Oh, yeah. Maybe at the end. Yeah, because it's a web-based app, it's not as simple as App Store, search it, click, and it does the thing. You have to like add it to your home screen. That's the trick of it. So if you learn how to add it to your home screen, you'll be set up and you create an account. And then, it's super fun. So what's wild about this is the testimonies we're getting on the back end of it, of people getting saved and people who are like us. They're not like vocational missionaries or ministers. They are like retirees. They are firefighters. They are teachers. They are just people who are sharing the gospel and seeing God move through their obedience and reach real people. And so it's like, I promise you, when you step into making him known, you'll find the weaponry of faith. And like, man, we've seen even believers who've been wrestling with bondage or certain like things in their lives that they just have not got free of yet, or whether it's like timidity or they're just not sure, and they start to obey God, like share the gospel, it actually positions them to experience grace, and they get free of the stuff that just because they've partnered with God. Hey, so it's just fun. And so like, and it's so fun because it's one of those things where, our friends, Daniel and Katie Zedens, who are from Hamilton, Ontario, this is when the kind of the evangelistic heart of God starts to beat in yours. what happens is you start to do really like crazy things, which I know Summit is not unfamiliar with, right? And having a pastor like TJ and Rita, amen. So Daniel and Katie, they hosted an event last year. It's called called Jesus Fest, and they purposely hosted this giant evangelistic worship event the day before a big witchcraft festival in the same park, because they were like, "We want to pick a fight. We want to pick a fight, not with the people, but with the devil." And what's so wild about that is, because when evangelistic grace and heart of God starts to beat in yours, you find the weaponry of the gospel, and you realize like no devil in hell has more authority than what Jesus has paid for, right? And you start to like, but then you start to walk it out, and that like that same fight starts to beat in your chest, and you do things like, my friends are like, "Oh, there's a witchcraft festival. Let's just get people saved and healed and delivered." We have friends in Saskatoon who go to the big occult festival, and they set up a Jesus booth, and they get some of the longest lines of people, and they don't charge money. And people are just like, "You don't charge?" And they're like, "No, we'll just pray for you." And then the Spirit of God comes, and then they're like, "Would you love to know who the Spirit of Truth?" They'll be like, they'll say things like, "We're going to release the Spirit of Truth over you." And they're like, "Okay." And then they're like, "Would you like to know the Spirit of Truth's real name?" And they're like, and that's because these spiritual people are also, some of them are actually very discerning, and they go, "It's Jesus, isn't it?" And they're like, "Yeah, would you like to give your life to him?" And then they just share the gospel. Not every person I know goes to New Age and witchcraft, but what I am saying is that they go and pick a fight. Right? Some go to the homeless camps. Some go, we have friends who go door to door just because they're like, and just show up, and they'll ask a simple question like this, which is very helpful for evangelism. They will literally ask a question like this: "If God could do a miracle in your life, what would it be?" And I've had people say to me when I've asked that, "Oh, I would love a Lamborghini." Awesome. So would I. Ian definitely would, right? Yeah. I've had people say to me, "I'm struggling with bipolar." And they'll just let you into the deepest part of their life. And then I'll say, "Hey," so this is a really cool tool. You can write this down. We call it the 15-second testimony. And what it is being able to say two things about what happened in your life before you had a God encounter, and then share how Jesus changed you or how you met the Lord, and then share like two things that have changed because of that. And then follow up with, "Could I pray for you to experience something like that?" So in this one situation, this girl's like, "Oh, I'm really struggling with my bipolar." And I said to her, "Oh, there was a time in my life where I was actually depressed and using drugs every day, and God transformed my life. I actually heard about Jesus. He changed everything, and I have hope, and I'm free now. Could I pray for you to experience that?" And she was like, "I would love that." And so I got to pray with her. She felt the presence of God come on her. She felt this thing lift off her, felt the peace of heaven. And I didn't go into a full 3-minute, and then I was crying, and it was someone was speaking, because my testimony was just to point to him. So it's like this, and Sheila knows all of these things. I'm sure your outreach team is doing all of this kind of stuff. We often use a tool called the Three Circles. On this app, you'll also find not only tracking, you'll find all of the events happening across Canada, and you'll find simple gospel tools. So you'll be able to go on and learn how to share the gospel using a very simple tool, how to do the 15-second testimony. And then we have a couple videos on there of just real-time people sharing the gospel and seeing God move through their obedience. So you can just find all that. We'll be uploading different videos throughout the year as well, just to help continue to encourage you to share the gospel. Amen? So pick a fight. That was point 18 of this three-point message. okay, I'm going to share one more story with you and then some questions, then I would love to pray. So what inspired all this? Because this was something that happened to my wife and I that has shifted something in my heart. And I hope by faith, this will help shift something in your heart. Last year, we were at this event. Actually, it's coming to Edmonton with Bill Prankard. It's called the Timothy Conference. But we were at this event. And anyway, Melissa and I are at the front. We're worshiping. We ended up on our faces before the Lord, just worshiping. And then I just started crying out for Canada. I was just like, God, give us this nation. Give us souls. And I just felt like that intercession, like that spirit of intercession. And I just started weeping ugly in front of this, like just like I was hitting the floor, like just it was a very like dramatic moment. This wall gets this story is going to feel like it's all over, and then we'll get somewhere. This is all happening. Worship concludes. I kind of compose. Both Melissa and I were holding hands, crying, and worship concludes. We grab our seats, and then that night we go back to our Airbnb. And we literally walked back into our Airbnb and it smelled like rotten garbage. Super weird. So we walk in and there's an odor in the place. We checked everything, like the garbage, the fridge. We're like, did something? It smelled like burning garbage. And like, this is weird. That night, so we just, okay, whatever. That night, I can't sleep, which is very unusual because I can sleep anywhere. My wife is fast asleep. 2 a.m, Megan comes to the door, knocks on the door, my assistant, and she's like, Melissa, are you there? We're having a medical emergency. Like, what? And I'm like, so I wake up Melissa. She goes, one of our team members was like aggressively attacked by some spirit. So we go in and Melissa and I, we just like, it was so special. We just got to sit with our friend and our, like one of our staff and just see this thing that tried to attack our team cast off. And it was just weird because it was like this profound moment of worship and intercession. And then this spirit tried to like do something. So awesome. I was just mad because I really don't like the devil. So it was, anyway, so I wasn't trying to over-spiritualize anything, but it was this weird thing. Next day, we go to this conference, this lady approaches me, and she's a prophetic intercessor, and she, like, comes up, and she's like, hey, last night at 2 a.m., I was praying for you. It's like, oh, good, because we had this weird thing, and she was like, oh, wild. So we talked about it, and she says, can I give you a gift? She's like, I don't know. She said, well, I want to give you a motorcycle. It's like, wow. So she gives us a motorcycle. And it's a 1984, same year as I was born, Honda Shadow 500. Not a big bike. I also don't ride a bike. Know nothing about them. Didn't. This is where the story's going. So I go... We arrange, I end up picking up the bike and bring it back to my house on Canada Day. And as I'm pulling it out of the trailer, I just have this sense, I'm like, oh, we're experiencing a prophetic word. We're not hearing one, we're experiencing one. It was weird, but we were like, there's something about this that God is trying to help us understand. So it was weird. It was like moment of intercession, spiritual resistance, gift of a motorcycle. And I don't know how to ride a bike. So I'm on YouTube learning like this is the clutch and not a brake. For real, who rides? For real. Okay, I didn't know, seriously, no idea that this up or down one, up. I didn't know this was a brake, like green. So I go write my M1, right? Like a 16-year-old pup again, and get my M1 pass. And then you have 90 days. I assume it's the same in Alberta with Ontario. So, okay. So, yeah. So I have 90 days I got my M1, can kind of ride illegally, can't insure it because whatever, Canada and their insurance stuff. 90 days. So I have to go to a school, and then at the end of the school, you pass and get your M2, and then you have to go back to the service building and get your M2. So I end up at this school, and I'm there with like 18 other people who don't know the Lord. And it was like the best. I was like, to my wife, I'm like, oh, I'm at school. This is, I'm at motorcycle school with my motorcycle friends. And so we like, we have like, we're out for lunch and they're smoking and I'm just sitting there like, and just listening like to really fun conversation. And at one point they were like, so what do you do? And I told them, and they're like, you're a pastor? And I was like, yeah, just to make it easy for them. And they're like, you're the coolest pastor we've ever met. And it's like, hey, man, it was just a fun, fun environment for me. Young guy, we start talking. Young guy, I'm like, hey, man, where are you from? And he's from a little town near us. I was like, oh, sweet. And he goes, no, it's not that good. Well, I'm like, what do you do for work? He's like, ah, I don't like my job. I'm like, you are living your best life. And he kind of chuckles. And I'm like, do you know who Mark Twain is? And he's like, no. I was like, oh, Mark Twain, he's an author. He's deceased now. But he said the two most important days of your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why. And he goes, wow, that's deep. And I was like, yeah. Do you have any faith? And he goes, well, like this much. And I went, huh. And then I didn't talk to him again. For real. It was the weirdest. I would not recommend that. And this is just what I've, it's humorous. At the moment, I felt like I'd grieved God. At the same time, God was doing something, and you'll hear why. Because it helped do something here. So I didn't get to talk to him for the rest of the day. And then I get pass, and I didn't get to talk to him for the rest. Like, we just had no more interaction. And I'm like, oh, God, like, I've missed it before. Someone else, like, you guys have missed it. You feel like you're supposed to do, say something, and you're just like, ugh, I missed it. And then the next day, the 90 days, this class ended and gave me one day to get my M2, right? So I have to go to the office, and so I have one day to do this. And I'm delayed all day. Finally get there at 4:30, office closes at 5, and I'm in line, and this young guy shows up. The same spot. And like the mathematical probability of all of this happening is just, it is impossible. And so I see him and I'm like, oh, Father, thank you, right? So I talk to him, share my testimony, we start talking. Melissa and I get the opportunity to share the gospel with him. Share why Jesus came for him, what he wants to do in his life. And he's like, man, this makes so much sense. He's like, I didn't tell you this, but my friend is a Christian, works at a church, and has been telling me to come. And he's like, he's actually the one who encouraged me to go to get my motorcycle, my M2. And now I'm like, man, I'm the answer to this other bro's prayers. And again, my like obedience has positioned, right? And it's like, and so we pray for him and he meets God. And it's like, oh man. And so it was so special. And then, so about less than a week later, I'm getting ready for bed and I'm just reading a little bit of the word and I'm just in bed. And also the Holy Spirit says to me, Adam, I started thanking him for the bike and for this guy, his name's Cam. And I'm like, oh God, that was so special. Thank you. And he says to me, Adam, I gave you a bike to prove to you how far I'd go to reach one more. So he like, God bless. It was like, I was asking for a nation. And he like was like, I'll give you just a bro. And he then gave me a bike. Like it was like a side quest of. And then the next day, I'm like, I'm just sitting with the Lord. And I said, God, it felt like when we got that bike, we were in a prophetic word. What was the prophetic word? And then I heard him. And it was like the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit. And he just said this. The prophetic word is this: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And that was like, I felt like I was like face to face with him, because he was trying to, like, honestly, it was like there was something in me that he needed to prove to this thing how far he'd go, right? Like, it was like there was still, just say it, like, there's probably still unbelief and doubt and passivity and apathy in me that needed to be crucified. It needed a love encounter with him. Because now it's like there's part of me that when I'm like walking down the street, Ian and I got to share the gospel with this guy at a coffee shop today. And I'm like, God's after that guy. Like the blood of his son is crying out for the lost. And he pleads with us that we would join him in his work, in his harvest. And I promise you, like, there's so many great tools and ways to share the gospel. And certainly your pastors and the Sheilas here, like, they can help equip you and mobilize you. And like, so I know there's weekly or bi-weekly outreach and, okay. Yeah, sweet. So like, there's things like that there's people around to help stir you up, right? And to help model it so you can step into that maturity. And that there's tools and all that to say, but at the heart of it, you honestly just have to say, like, yes. And then you, like, the fastest growing churches in the world are not polished gospel presentations. Like, they're just people who have decided to burn and not stop. And then they are like, if this causes me to get, you know, worst case, punched, or I haven't been punched yet. We've been cursed a lot and lots of fun, like, weird stories, but it's like you just let him have you so that he might have one more. And you just, by faith, the same faith that you used to get saved yourself, to worship, to pray, to prophesy, to give, to forgive, that same faith, you just step with that faith into that conversation and you say, hey, if God could do a miracle, what would that be for you? Do you have a worldview that includes God? Is there any way I could pray for you today? I just believe God wants to do miracles. He loves people. Is there anything? Do you have any pain in your body? Could I pray for that today? And you let him reach through. And all of a sudden you find yourself in these moments where, like, that were ordained since the before creation for God to reach that person. And then, like, I'm... Amen. I want to pray and just ask God to, like, give you motorcycles. Right? Do you ride? Oh, it's a lot of fun now. So much fun. But I want to pray that you get motorcycles that prove to you how far he'd go, right? That you'd see, like, that your job, even those feeling like insignificant location moves or things that you felt like maybe even weren't spiritual, but you're like, I was just pushed here out of necessity. God actually wants to use that because there's someone he wants to reach, because he ordains the steps of the righteous. So let's pray. And then if there's questions, I'm still being moved by this story, this motorcycle story. So I do want to make room for the practical too, but I feel stirred to pray. So let's do that. And then if there's other things or questions about this or any practical pieces, I'd love to be able to answer that. But would you just, let's just stand. Father, God, I ask right now, I ask Holy Spirit. Okay, God, right now, like, we don't want church or life as normal. God, I ask right now, would you just even put a hand on the person beside you? And we ask Holy Spirit for the boldness of heaven, the boldness of heaven to come on every person here. God, I ask that you would do a miracle and move the mountains of passivity and apathy and doubt and unbelief. And those things that say, I can't, or I'm not this, or I'm not that, would you crush those right now? We command all of those mountains to go to the sea, break off in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, would you come and give a passion for the lost? Thank you, God, that evangelism is in Jesus. You gave it as a gift to the church, therefore it can be a gift to us right now, that we don't have to stir it up. We receive boldness and we receive the ministry of preaching the gospel, evangelism. We receive it right now by faith that you'd make us soul winners and disciple makers. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whoa, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. More. Just release the boldness of heaven on every person right now in Jesus' name. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders.
Thank you for listening to the Summit Podcast. We pray it impacted your heart. If you have prayer requests, we would love to pray with you. Email prayer@thesummitreddeer.ca.